It is Nicole Sandler in from Montel Williams today here on Air America Radio. Thank you for joining us. Well, it was a heated discussion with Jim Arquitas in the last couple of segments. I think we just fundamentally disagree on our role in Afghanistan. He seems to think that, aggression is the way to stop al-Qaeda. And my thought is, you know what, if we really want to get people on our side, we need to stop the killing, stop the maiming, stop the bombing, and maybe spend a fraction of the money we are spending on waging war with on humanitarian issues. So maybe give them, money, give the people their jobs, help them build roads and schools and hospitals, and you can win maybe the hearts and minds of some of the people who would not give al-Qaeda a free ride. But by continuing to kill them and wage war in their country, by invading and being the occupiers with, and hurting them, we're only breeding new generations of people who hate us. All right. Joining us now is David Swanson. David Swanson, I jokingly refer to, but seriously mean it, as my favorite activist. He is one of the co-founders of AfterDowningStreet.org. He's involved in Democrats.com. He blogs at DavidSwanson.org, and he's just published his first book, Daybreak, Undoing the Imperial Presidency and Forming a More Perfect Union. David, thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Nicole. You say that to all your activists, I'm sure. But
no, I don't.
But I loved what you had to say on Afghanistan, and al-Qaeda isn't even there. That's the craziest part of it.
That is the craziest part of it. And by, the traditional methods of warfare, we're not gonna get the terrorists, because they're not a country.
We just had a top diplomat resign, just like Ann Wright did 6 years ago, saying, "This is crazy. What am I doing here?" We had a newspaper reporter held hostage for weeks who comes out saying, the problem is they're mad about the occupation. I mean, you go over there and ask people, what are you fighting for? They're not fighting because they want some strict religion imposed. They're fighting because there's a foreign nation occupying theirs, just like we would do if someone occupied us.
Exactly. And you know what? The Taliban, yes, it's an evil regime, but they are nationalists. They just want their country. And as horrible as they are, it is not our role to go into their country and help them get rid of the Taliban. Yeah, they're awful. I'd love to see the Taliban gone. But the money and the manpower and the lives that we're risking over there to do this, and we're creating, as I said, a whole new generation of people who hate us. They want us out of their country. Let's give them what they want.
Well, no kidding. It's counterproductive, which is not to say we get out and everything's peace and harmony. It would take a lot of work, a lot of investment in aid and diplomacy, and still be a very uphill fight. And some of the Taliban leaders are religious nutcases, but the majority of their troops are simply people who, if we gave them a job for $5 a day, would do something completely different. They need to eat, and so it's counterproductive.
And that's why they're supporting the Taliban, because the Taliban is giving them jobs for $5 a day. We can pay them $10 a day, and in the process help them build roads and schools and hospitals, and maybe win over the hearts and minds of some of the people there.
No kidding.
Anyway, David Swanson is with us not to talk about that, but something sort of related. I've known about this for a while now, because I've been getting your emails saying not for release, not for publication, yet it did hit at 9 o'clock Eastern this morning, a call for Congress to take action on torture. Tell us what this is all about.
Well, dozens and dozens of organizations, the Robert Jackson Steering Committee put this together, but after Downing Street and Democrats.com and the Bill of Rights Defense Committee and the Center for Constitutional Rights and endless list of dozens and dozens of peace and justice organizations are putting out a statement. It will be within moments of this, of me getting off the air here, it will be at the top of AfterDowningStreet.org, and it will be on dozens of other websites and in the media, and it's calling on Congress to step up and take action on torture, because we're at a point where the Justice Department and the President have made clear that they will not. And we are in danger of encouraging the continuation of torture by the United States and others. by damaging the rule of law and the treaties that are in place to prevent torture.
Now, torture is illegal in the United States, is it not?
Well, it certainly is. There was a treaty signed by Ronald Reagan called the Convention Against Torture and Other Cruel and Inhuman and Degrading Treatment, and it is the supreme law of our land under Article 6 of our Constitution. We even put an anti-torture statute in the U.S. Code, making it strictly a felony. That's been in place since Clinton was president. There's also an anti-war crimes statute in the U.S. Code of Law that makes it illegal. Torture and any act of complicity in torture, that means telling a lawyer to write a secret memo purporting to legalize torture, or as that lawyer writing that memo, those are felonies under U.S. law and under international law. In fact, under international law, torture is one thing that cannot be made legal by any country. And yet we have a former president and vice president openly confessing to acts of complicity in torture on television and nothing done about it.
So I'm confused here, David Swanson. How did that happen? If there's Ronald Reagan, I mean, the king of the Republicans, is the one who put this into effect. So how did George Bush and Dick Cheney begin this system of torturing prisoners and nothing has happened?
It's an excellent question. We were supposed to be a nation of laws, not a nation of men. We were supposed to have everyone beneath one system of law, and now we clearly do not. And there was hints and winks and leaks. It was not a well-kept secret during the Bush-Cheney crime spree that we were torturing people. We had the president hinting about it in State of the Union addresses and so forth, and then we had all the evidence pouring out and the photographs and the videos. We haven't seen most of those yet, and the statements from participants as well as victims. There's no secret about it, and yet nothing done. And the new president comes in and says, we're not going to prosecute these people. Maybe we'll prosecute a few of the low-ranking staffers who strayed from the illegal policies in the secret memos. So now this goes way beyond torture to the power of a president to legalize a blatant crime by telling a lawyer to write a memo to make it legal, a secret law to make a crime legal. So this is big time. This is absolute power to do anything, not just torture. And yet, you know, it's not surprising that you get a new president and he wants to keep all the powers of the previous presidents. Every other president has done that, right? And we've heard from Leon Panetta and from David Axelrod that the president still has the power to torture. He's just choosing not to use it at the moment.
But hold on. How does Leon Panetta say the president has the power to torture if it's illegal?
Well, that's an excellent, excellent question. I very much wanted my friends out in San Francisco to ask him that at an event recently. They did manage to ask him about our illegal policy of bombing people from drones, and that was excellent journalism by citizens, which are the people who do journalism now. And yet nobody has really grilled him on this question, which came up in his confirmation hearing, and yet he was confirmed. You'll recall back when President Obama and former Vice President in crime Dick Cheney had dueling speeches, and the media treated them as a pair of speeches on that day.
Yes.
And Dick Cheney said, you know, this current president is keeping the power to torture. And all the media freaked out, and the progressive blogs freaked out. What is the vice president talking about? But then a television network got David Axelrod on TV in front of the White House and couldn't get a straight answer out of him after four tries. Clearly, they believe that a president has the power to torture. Why? Because President Bush seized that power and nothing happened to him. And the sad thing is that if multiple administrations do the same thing, the Supreme Court has a habit of treating that as now having become acceptable power. Never mind that it's illegal. Never mind that it's unconstitutional. Never mind our Bill of Rights. You know, this has been illegal for a long, long time.
Now, David Swanson is with us here on Air America Radio. His book is called Daybreak, Undoing the Imperial Presidency and Forming a More Perfect Union. And this goes right to really what you talk about in the book, the powers that one president seizes and then, you know, subsequent presidents keep that power because they don't ever give up any power. But President Obama comes into office, and one of the first things he does is says, we do not torture, and we are closing down Guantanamo Bay. Guantanamo Bay, almost a year later, is still open, and the deadline he set to close it a year after he took office will not be met. But now we also have Bagram Air Force Base in Afghanistan, which seems to be Guantanamo Junior, and Rendition, which I really thought really was just another name for torture, is still going on, and a lot of it, I believe, at Bagram. Is that happening?
Oh, Guantanamo Senior. The Bagram is older and bigger and worse.
Ah, senior. Okay.
And more serious in that the current administration, like the former, denies prisoners there any rights whatsoever. So we have a formal declaration of the end of habeas corpus made in front of the Constitution in the National Archives. We are detaining people without charge and formalizing that policy and claiming the right to do so under the authorization to use force passed by Congress, which is just crazy. We still have the president claiming the power to rendition people to other nations that torture, and quietly claiming the power to torture if needed. Now expressing the belief that it's not needed at the moment, that's progress. Getting some of the prisoners out of Guantanamo, that's progress. Mm-hmm. But, you know, closing Guantanamo is kind of a bogus promise to begin with, in that we want to end these policies anywhere, not just in one place. But, you know, this is not unexpected. This is not unique or particularly evil. As presidencies go, presidents don't give back powers. What's strange and unusual is that Congress isn't fighting back at all. Congress isn't taking any powers back. Congress seems to not want any power and wants the president, whatever president, to have them. But the biggest impact of all of this going forward, if this country lasts a long time, as I hope it does, is going to be the structures of power left in place for dozens of future presidents.
David Swanson is with us. What we're going to do now is so take a break here, come back on the other side, and go back to this call for Congress to take action on torture. We'll talk about exactly what we're asking Congress to do, and David Swanson will give us the details on how you can sign on to this call for action. All right, Nicole Sandler in for Montel Williams on Air America Radio. We'll be right back. Sandler here, filling in for Montel Williams on Montel Across America. He's off having some family time today and tomorrow, so it's my pleasure to be with you. We are going back to David Swanson, author of Daybreak, Undoing the Imperial Presidency and Forming a More Perfect Union. Today we are talking about the issue of torture, because a new movement has been announced this morning, a call for Congress to take action on torture, and it is about time. So, David, tell us where people can read what's going on with this movement, how they can get involved, and what kind of action we are asking Congress to take.
Well, go to the top of afterdowningstreet.org. It was put there during the break we just went through, and it will be appearing on dozens and dozens of other activist websites today and in the media, and you can read it. It's several paragraphs, is a call for action, and you can sign it, and then you'll see lots of other things you can do to help advance this agenda once you sign it. And it asks Congress to do, well, it calls for five things. One is for Congress to immediately begin impeachment proceedings against Judge Jay Bybee of the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit. This is someone who signed memos purporting to legalize torture, purporting to legalize aggressive war. He's now serving as an appeals court judge ruling on crimes and overruling the decisions of honorable, honest jurists. His name is Jay Bybee, B-Y-B-E-E.
And that appointment, that U.S. Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit, that's a lifetime appointment, isn't it?
is lifetime. It's as high as you get below the Supreme Court. There's no reason he couldn't be moved up to the Supreme Court, considering the types of people we've seen moved up there. That we have senators who've said they never would have approved him had they known, although, you know, much was known at the time. We had these memos come out in April, and Senator Leahy say, would you come in and talk to us? And Judge Bybee say, no, I don't feel like it. And that was that. No one has subpoenaed him. No one has impeached him. We've impeached a judge for groping people, but not this man, because he's from the executive branch, because
because sex is dirty in this country. Now, nobody should be groping anybody without their permission, but this is a country that impeached a president because he had sex with an intern, but again, she was an adult. We impeached her, but we didn't impeach George Bush or Dick Cheney.
Yes, that is absolutely outrageous to begin with, but we've really almost lost, because of that, the power of Congress to impeach anyone other than Democrats, anything other than sex, and that's the way it's going, and you try to get a straight answer out of Congress members, and they'll tell you, well, Fox News wouldn't like it. Well, Fox News doesn't run our country. We run our country. Any Congress member could put in a one-sentence bill, as we did with Alberto Gonzalez, which resulted in him resigning. We could put in a one-sentence bill that says the House Judiciary Committee shall consider whether J. Bybee committed impeachable offenses. And, of course, he did. But you get enough co-signers on that, you start the hearing. Well, then you can bring out any information. We can bring out the photos and the videos. Nothing can be refused.
Which, by the way, the photos, hearing. President Obama is doing everything he can to block the release of those photos. And he said that they don't show anything different than what we'd already seen, and we found out almost immediately after he made that statement that, in fact, they do. They show even more heinous and despicable actions on behalf of our military, to actions that are tantamount to torture.
Oh, of course, they do, and there are videos. We now know that there is video of Al-Qahtani being tortured, a torture authorized by Donald Rumsfeld, as well as Bush and Cheney, and J. Bybee. These are crimes that we have to know about as Americans, and Americans clearly are not moved by the written word. Americans need to see photos and videos. And, you know, whether you release them or not, the big question in terms of enraging hostilities around the world is whether the crimes are being prosecuted. If you release them and pursue accountability for the crimes, then you do a great deal of good in terms of reducing hostilities towards Americans. And you could release them privately to a special prosecutor, and nobody sees them outside of this country, and nobody's enraged at all. But that's not happening.
Wow.
So that needs to happen.
Hey, David, before we, you know, people can read the entire declaration at afterdowningstreet.org. I just want to ask one other question about torture. Dick Cheney kept saying in all those interviews he did, you couldn't get away from Dick Cheney for a few weeks there, that the torture provided actionable intelligence.
Right.
Is there any tiny bit of truth in that?
Well, actionable in that we went into illegal wars justified by the torturing of false statements used to maneuver our country into war, actionable in that we've imprisoned innocent people and so forth, but useful, valuable, beneficial? No, there's no evidence of that whatsoever. And the former vice president was pointing to two specific memos that are now public and show nothing of the sort. And he's no longer waving those two memos around, but neither are any journalists. Nobody's questioning him about those blatant lies that he made before we saw those two memos.
Unbelievable. David Swanson, go to afterdowningstreet.org, read the directive, a call for Congress to take action on torture, sign on to it, and let's all get involved, because torture, no matter how you slice it, is wrong. David Swanson, always a pleasure. We will talk again soon. I'm Nicole Sandler, in from Montel Williams on Montel Across America. We'll be back.